Why are they reaching for smelling salts for the bond market? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. That benchmark for interest rates, the 10-year Treasury yield, has gone from 2.1% late last week to 2.32% this morning, which means a lot of people are selling bonds here, and especially in Europe. On Thursdays, we like to consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have to help me with this. We have these forecasts that global economic growth is going to be anemic. This yesterday from the OECD. We have concerns about the U.S. economy, yet yields have been going up and up on the bond market. Apparently, some bond funds have seen all their gains for 2015 erased in the last week. I mean, how do you account for that?
First of all, financial markets tend to overshoot. And what we saw was as inflation was decelerating, in part because oil prices were falling, the bond markets were rallying. And then they saw threats of deflation in Europe. Well, now we've seen some signs that the deflation is less of a threat. And all of a sudden, it's as if bond yields are off to the races because they're afraid now inflation is going to take off.
What about the United States? Tomorrow, the big economic report of the month comes out, May unemployment and employment. What are you thinking?
Well, we're going to see a better quality of jobs, I think. It is a better market for new college grads, and that's great. I don't think we're going to see the volume of jobs that we would like to see, although I think we'll crack 200,000. The question is, do we see it in overall wages yet? That is something we hope for, but not holding our breath on for tomorrow.
Diane, thank you. Bloomberg News is just now reporting that the International Monetary Fund wants the Federal Reserve to hold off raising interest rates until next year. The Fed doesn't have to listen to the IMF, but there it is. President Obama is pushing the 12-nation Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement ahead of a House vote next week on streamlining his administration's authority to negotiate. In an interview with Marketplace, the president touted what he sees as the benefits to liberalizing trade and mentioned that China, which is not currently part of these negotiations, is putting out feelers about joining. My colleague, Marketplace's Kai Rizdal, asked about those who lose out when the trade rules change. The president acknowledged this but argued that engagement with trade has to continue.
The answer is not to not trade anymore. The answer is, how do we upgrade our skills? How do we make sure that the laws and the tax rules and how companies compensate their workers versus their CEOs, how are those rules fair? And if we do that well, then we can address those issues. But we're not going to address those issues by not trading with Japan. We're not going to address those issues by pretending that the global supply chain doesn't exist. The same is true when it comes to environmental issues. If we want to solve something like climate change, which was one of my highest priorities, then I've got to be able to get into places like Malaysia and say to them, this is in your interest. What leverage do I have to get them to stop deforestation? Well, part of the leverage is if I'm in a trade relationship with them that allows me to raise standards, now they have to start thinking about how quick they're chopping down their forests and what kinds of standards they need to apply to the environmental conservation. So we have to engage, not withdraw.
The full Marketplace interview with President Obama in video form is at marketplace.org. The satellite TV company Dish Network is reportedly in talks to merge with T-Mobile. There's no sense of how much money would change hands. Ryan Knutson's one of the Wall Street Journal reporters who broke the story today. Mr. Knutson, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So T-Mobile's been looking for a partner for a long time, we know, but a TV company, Dish Network, what's the logic there?
Yeah, well, T-Mobile has kind of been the kingmaker in the last few years, and yet no one has been able to wear the crown. AT&T tried to buy T-Mobile a few years ago. Regulators stepped in front of that deal then because they didn't want there to be a reduction in the number of wireless operators nationally. Dish is a satellite TV company, but they've also been amassing a really valuable trove of wireless airwaves that are used to power cell phones. By combining with T-Mobile, they would give a really strong opportunity for them to combine the wireless assets with some of their TV offerings and put that spectrum to use so that it can be used to power smartphones.
The proposed merger between Comcast and Time Warner Cable unraveled amid concerns from antitrust regulators. Charter Communications plus Time Warner Cable may go through. What do you think about this one? What are you hearing about? Would this be an antitrust problem?
With T-Mobile and Dish is that these are not, they're not competing businesses in any way, really. T-Mobile doesn't have a television service and Dish doesn't have a wireless service. But by combining them, they're going to make the companies stronger. T-Mobile is kind of the resurgent disruptor in the wireless industry. And so combining with Dish would put Dish's airwaves to use, which is something that would make regulators happy. But it would also kind of strengthen the disruptor to push it forward and hopefully cause more disruption.
Now, T-Mobile's CEO, John Legere, likes to represent himself as a bit of a wild man. Do I read this right, that he might, if this were to go through, become the boss?
So the way that the companies envision the arrangement now is that Charlie Ergen would become the chairman of the company and John Legere would become the CEO. And so you'd have two really interesting people at the helm of this company.
Ryan Knutson, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
While the Dish Network's boss is very private, some say enigmatic, I once interviewed T-Mobile's rambunctious CEO in a hotel room where Mr. Legere jokingly suggested that we do the conversation prone on the bed with his handlers surrounding us. I declined the offer and we sat in chairs. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.